Father, I thank you for this day, bringing all of us to your holy feet. And I ask you, Lord, that you begin to minister unto us in a very special way. That you, Father, minister unto us as we open our understanding to your holy word. We pray in the holy matchless name, Lord, this evening, that you begin to, Father, unravel many things that we need to know. We pray in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, we have been spending almost close to a year sharing the truth of the Word of God, particularly in line with the things that the Lord wants the bride of Christ to know, and also expounding of the book of Revelation. But the Lord really impressed in my heart in the last 2 weeks to bring this subject, which is absolute importance for the bride of Christ. One of the things that the Bible, God says, my people perish because they lack the knowledge of the word. So we want the people of the Lord to know the truth, and also I believe that we ourselves have a greater responsibility in preparation of the bride of Christ. And in this task, you see, I also explain this very, very often. The perfecting of the saints. Now, there are many Christian fellowship and churches even in this country. People are praying and worshipping. But how many people who are so called themselves pastors, preachers or priests, evangelists, in the process of perfecting the saints? The perfecting of the saints is not just coming here and preaching something only, but preaching that with an absolute intention, revealing the plan of God and getting the people to come and understand what the Lord's expectation is. That is the very reason Paul said in Ephesians here, that he gave some apostles, some prophet, and some evangelist, and some pastors and teachers. And if you look at the previous verse, verse 10:9, he says he gave gifts. He that ascended is the same that descended. When Jesus went to the bottom of the earth after he died, when he went to the bottom to release the Old Testament saints which belongs to him, he descended. And then he ascended high above. And then he said, all power is given unto me. And then he said he gave gifts. And then he says he gave some apostles. So if there are some apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, there is one purpose for them. That is for the perfecting of the saints. Now the perfecting of the saints is an absolute necessity for the plan of God. It is not just coming for a meeting and listening and then going back and have a good feeling about it. It is much more than when you say perfecting of the saints. A person who look at a gemstone, when a stone is found by a person who look for it, then you have to cut and polish it. You have to make it perfect. And it involves taking out certain things, moving away and cutting off certain things which prevent the stone giving the fullness of his brightness. Yes, sir. So the perfecting means bringing to the full potential and giving, surfacing that. So the perfecting responsibility falls onto this fivefold ministry, which we call the fivefold ministry. But it is not everybody who call themselves apostles or prophets and evangelists and pastors who do this. There are many of them in this world, even particularly in this country. So what it says is, till we all come to the unity of faith, it is not the unity of faith where all the denominations will come together and have one unity. It's not referring to that. It is the unity of faith is understanding the absolute divine plan, and when you see the whole, everybody see eye to eye, it with full knowledge. And the knowledge of the Son of God, and then says, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. So the fivefold ministry mentioned here is responsible for all this perfecting and bring them to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in this regard that the Lord impressed in my heart, spend little time understanding this truth. And in fact, the Lord taught me myself many things when I was studying this, which I need to correct myself in this regard. So what the Lord spoke to me, which I present to you tonight with the purpose of bringing all the people to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, now why we are here today? One thing we want, we are here to, of course, to worship the Lord. Also understand the word of God, which is here. That is what we have been doing here. But today, why don't we see a people like in the day of Pentecost and in the first church age, the people with the absolute character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the reasons is, again, we have to go back to the genuineness of the experience the people had. Now we also know we are here and born into the family of God because of the love that God has demonstrated for you and me. 1 John 4:10 to 12 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God any time, but if he loves one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. But God commended His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Recently, one of my friends, who is also a colleague in the bank, his house was burgled. And he lost about ₹1 million worth of gold and jewelry. And it was a costly thing for him, because he has worked toward those things, and particularly the jewelry which he had bought for his children and for the wife, which has also a sentimental value apart from the value that is there. And a burglar came and robbed when they were not there. And he was telling, he was very sorry about it, that he paid a good price and it was lost. And I think it is in this context that the experience that God gives to you and me, still we have not understood the value what God has given to us. Now when God showed His love to us, for God to show the love to us, it cost something to Him. It cost God to demonstrate the love He has for us. It cost God something. And also, God knew that He has to pay that. There's a price that He has to pay. Even when we go and buy something in the market, we have to pay a price for it. Why are we willing to pay that price? We are willing to pay the price. A product will cost something. We say that product will cost that. And we are willing to pay that price because we are going to get that value. This is what we are looking for when we go and buy a lot of things. We buy a lot of, apart from the food, we buy a lot of important and valuable things. And we are willing to pay the cost, which is the price. And we obtain value. Now when God demonstrated His love to us, one way He demonstrated is, He wants to obtain value from us. That's the purpose of He paying the price. He paid the price, it cost Him something, and He was willing to pay the price so that He would obtain value. Now when He did that, it cost an enormous price, enormous value, enormous cost to Him. Because when God created Adam, Adam was God's creation, is an act of God. Every act of God, we call it with one word. Act of God, a word what we give to act of God is a miracle. Miracle is an act of God. So, Adam was an act of God. He created Adam. He took the dust of the earth, formed him, and then He gave the breath of life. The Bible says He became a living soul. So, and then God so loved him very much. And He loved him so much that Adam was able to understand everything that God wants him to know. Because he was given complete control of the whole universe, the planet Earth, and said, have dominion over everything. And then we know what happens there. And ever since Adam was lost to God, and in him there were hundreds of thousands of people which intended to be the family of God, were lost to him. So therefore God demonstrated once again His love. Why did he demonstrate His love? In order that He would be able to get value like what He expects from Adam. That's what He says here. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us. And He sent His Son for propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love. So it is the love of God that is demonstrated here when God called us and gave us an opportunity to come to know Him. God commended His love toward us. In while you are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God's love is sacrificial love. It cost Him to express His love. It cost Him. It cost a price to Him. And that's what in Isaiah 53, 2-4 says. For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when He shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, and we hid it, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. yet we did esteem him and stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. So God's love was demonstrated. God's love was demonstrated very much, and it cost him. It cost him a price which cannot be valued. You know, the price God paid to obtain value from me and you is enormous. It's not like you're buying gold or silver or a Mercedes or Jaguar or anything like that, or a beautiful house or apartment in anywhere in the world. It cost God something to love us. Now that's why we need to understand the love of God. If we don't understand that, we are going to take these things very lightly, and we are not going to value this. The problem to a Christianity is many people today do not understand what God has given to them, what it cost. That is why we are just taking things for granted. Generally, human beings taking things for granted until it is cost to them. You see, in this country, we never paid for water and many other facilities, and little by little everything has to be paid for. There was a conference in Bali with regard to the climate change, and they know the price they have to pay for what they have done to the planet Earth. So what happens is, we haven't understood what it costs God to love us. Because of that, we take things granted, and that's why we walk very loosely. When that's why we, in our lifestyle, has become a very loose lifestyle, though we call ourselves Christians, because we haven't understood what it costs God to love us. And that's why God really demonstrated it. The love of God was something where God demonstrated before the planet Earth, before everybody. He demonstrated that love unlike anybody else, any other religion. So God's love, there was a price that he paid. So the price he paid was, it cost, as I told you. And here it says very clearly, you are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:2 and 7:23, it says, you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Now this has to really go into our inner beings, saying that God has paid an enormous price for you and I to be in the kingdom of God. We know we are human beings with sinful nature. We are human beings with sinful nature. And Bible says, all have sinned and come short of God. There is no way that you and I could go to God, because we are born in sin. So the human nature is a sinful nature. There is no question of that. Human nature, however the good the human being is, there is a sinful nature. So God said that it cost God the price. And he says that you are not born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible word. Incorruptible word. You know, word is the thought in action. You know that? The word is a thought in action. You know, the logos means the thought of God. Thought. The thought becomes a thought, and when it expresses your thought, it becomes an action. It's an expression. It's an action. That's why it is word. The word means the word was made flesh for me to be born incorruptible. We are already born corruptible. When we are born corruptible, because David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. So we are born corruptible with a human sinful nature. And then he says we need to be born again with the incorruptible word, means the thought which is the action of the thought is the word which liveth and abideth forever. So let's begin to understand the very price that God paid for you and me. Because we don't understand this, we take things very lightly, very loosely, and we take things for granted. The price that God paid, it's a price that God paid for us. It cost him. It cost him. Now what happens is, when you go and pay a price to buy something very important, you want to make sure that you get that value for that. You go and spend about, say, 15 million and buy a house, and you want to make sure the bathrooms are working, roof is not leaking, you know, water service is there, everything working well. Otherwise, what happens here is, you are played out by somebody. You know, people play out, play you out. Because God doesn't want to get played out. He doesn't want to get played out by us, because He has paid a big price. And He demands value from you and me. And if He doesn't get value, then there's a question here for God. So, we who are in the human nature, we need to be value to God. Now you need to understand this aspect. Now when you understand this only, every other action of you and me would be reflected in our love, walk with the Lord. You know, when Enoch walked with God, he walked with God. And he was absolute value to God. You know? He was absolute value to God, and that's why God took him. And that is the very reason that God, when he paid this price, because though we come to the Lord's table and commemorate Holy Communion, yet we don't understand that it touched the heart of God to pay this price. One of the things, when you and I come to Lord, what we come to know the Lord, how do we experience the love of God? We experience the love of God. Of course, God has paid a price. We experience the love of God through what? Through the forgiveness. God's love is demonstrated by the price He paid. By virtue of that price, that He forgives us of this condition we are. We obtain forgiveness as a result of the price He paid for us. We are forgiven. Otherwise, it's not there. You will not obtain forgiveness. So, because of the price He paid, now we can obtain forgiveness. Now, for you to obtain forgiveness, one thing you need to, you know, it doesn't come to you automatically. The forgiveness, you can just going to a church or getting a blessing, it doesn't happen like that. To obtain forgiveness, the cardinal responsibility or the response that you need to have is, repentance. Forgiveness through the love of God, the price paid, and now the forgiveness is offered to you. Now you will not obtain forgiveness unless you repent. And that's why today you find a lot of people, they said, I have not done anything wrong. You know, I have not robbed people, I have not done any wrong to people. Why should I, you know, repent? You know, I'm a good person. People say, we have heard many people say like that. But what happens is, the human nature is a sinful nature. Every goodly man, every good man who lived on the earth, including Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa, which is the role models for sainthood, they have fallen to this category. Because the Bible says, not I, the Bible says all have sinned, including Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa. And they have demonstrated this sinful nature in some other time in their life, not to what you hear from the media. Sometime in their life they have demonstrated, and they keep on would have demonstrated. So the sinful nature was there, and to come to in the gods, you need to obtain forgiveness. And then forgiveness, to obtain forgiveness, you need to repentance. Now the repentance is something which we need to understand how we repent. You see, lot of these Pentecostal and Evangelical churches have misled lot of people. They have lot of big messages, and then they call people to altar and say, repeat this prayer, and says, I am a sinner, forgive me, and it goes. No, that is a gimmick. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Repentance doesn't work that way. It is just you raise your hand, you have to raise your hand and then come to the altar and repeat the sinner's prayer. I think that is far from the repentance that God expects. Repentance is, because do you know that the repentance is costly? Like it costs God, repentance, there's a cost to pay. You can't just say sinner's prayer and receive, call it repentance. There is a price to pay for your repentance. So if you are coming to the altar and saying sinner's prayer, like this many Pentecostal and evangelists do that, it is far from the truth. So godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So the godly sorrow worketh repentance. So you need to feel absolutely sorry for your status. This status that you are in, you need to feel very sorry for that status. And genuinely repent, because there is an absolute price that God has offered for you. One of the things The Bible says, John 16:8 says, and when the Holy Spirit, He is come, will reprove the world of sin. A repentance always bring a man to the point that I have sinned. Whether it's a small sin or a big sin, the fact is I have sinned. I'm born in sin. All what I have done on this up to now, the repentance brings you to a condition and says, I have sinned. So therefore, the bedrock of Christianity is repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. So, the repentance, as I told you, it is going to cost you something. Because people say, freely you have got, freely you give. Yes, absolutely. Salvation is free. God, you don't have to pay money. But the repentance involves in some cost. I will explain that. Because when a genuine repentance demands you that there is an absolute value that you offer to God. You know, God has paid the price. Now you have to offer value to God. So the process of value is obtaining is you forgive, obtain forgiveness, you repent. Of course, the repentance also have to be demonstrated. Now, in Hebrews 4:15 to 16 says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we obtain mercy and find grace to the help of time. So, this, as a result of the price God paid, there is no possible for us to repent and obtain forgiveness. Now David, of course he was a man after God's own heart. When he committed the adultery and murder, he said, he repented. And he said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know, immediately when he committed the sin, he was quite okay. He didn't feel anything bad about it. Like today, many people do a lot of things, bad things, and justify. Hey, this is okay, you know, I'm the king, I can do anything. So he justified. Until the prophet Nathan came with the word and says, you have sinned. When we are confronted with the word of God, always God will convict you of your condition. When God demonstrated His love to this world, He demonstrated also our condition. That is why Jesus had to go through that painful experience and the agonizing death to demonstrate your condition and my condition. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. So therefore, God has to demonstrate how He is going to love and give you the forgiveness. So that was demonstrated. And that demonstration was, God's love was demonstrated, reflecting the very condition we are in. So, when the Nathan, prophet brought this, stood before David and brought him to understand what cost his actions, and then he repented. And he says, for I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. And he says, against thee, and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. You know, brothers and sisters, if you don't have genuine repentance, you have not genuine experience with the Lord. That is why you cannot demonstrate your lifestyle which God wants in the world. If you have not genuine repentance, because genuine repentance will cost you something. Of course, salvation is free, but the genuine repentance, as a result of that, everything becomes insignificant. Now, if I ask you a question, you know, the salvation that you have obtained, and you have become a son of God and a daughter of God, is there a bigger value than that? Is there a bigger value than becoming a son of God or coming into the family of God? Is there a bigger value than that? No, because the Bible says, what shall it profit man if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Is that right? Yes. There's nothing greater than coming to know the Lord and being a son of the living God or a daughter of the living God. Because the Bible says very clearly, even you can have the riches of this world, but it is nothing. Even if you gain the whole world, what shall it profit? So, God has now given to us free the opportunity to obtain forgiveness. But when you repent, when you try to give value to God, then there is a cost that in the process. So of course, David realized that for him to come back to God and to have the relationship and obtain forgiveness, he had to repent genuinely. Genuine repentance. Genuine repentance, costly affair. Genuine repentance. Now you would wonder why I say like this. Because absolutely it is true. Don't ever think by coming to the altar and regretting in your mind that everything finished. If that is the case, hundreds and millions of people are coming to altar and repeating that, and they are going back like the same, you know, these TV evangelists, they do those things every day, but nothing much happens. But I want to tell you about a man. I want to tell you about a man who had repented very genuinely. I want to tell you about a man who had repented truly and genuinely. And his repentance was demonstrated as a value to God. Right? He genuinely demonstrated his repentance. And when God realized that he has given the value, and the first time in the Bible that he endorsed that and says, yes, it is true. There was a man in the Bible, in the life of Jesus Christ, where demonstrated a genuine repentance. And when that was done, Jesus gave the fine report and said, yes, it's true, you are done. Remember, Jesus said, well done thou my good and faithful servant. But here is the only case where God did that to this man. Who is this man? Zacchaeus. He repented. He was a sinful man with a sinful human nature. And he knew that though he has property, though he has wealth, he is a sinful man. But Jesus came to him and said, Zacchaeus, I am going to come to your place. And you remember what Zacchaeus did. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold the Lord, half of my good I give unto poor, and if the half taken anything from any man from false accusation, I restore him fourfold. being a banker, I know what it means. You see, if 4 years ago you gave me 100 rupees and now I have to probably pay you, in this country's inflation, at least 1,000 rupees. You understand? What happens is, this is what is called genuine. Because this man has an absolute genuine repentance. That is why Jesus said, this day salvation is come to this house. Nowhere else Jesus has said like that. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible Jesus has given this affirmation to any man. Now let's see what he did. He said, half of my good I will give to the poor. And he also said that in the past I have done some wrong way, charged people. So he can obviously tell, you see, you know, I have charged that man 50 rupees more, so what I had to do, I had to give back 50 rupees. So that's okay, you know, 50 is taken, 50 is given, even after 4 years. But Zacchaeus knew the 15, 4 years ago is 1,000 years now. So that's what it is called, the genuine repentance. So it costs Zacchaeus. It's costing something to do this repentance. So when you come to the Lord, when you ask the forgiveness of God, it is going to cost you something. Because there are certain things which you need to put it right. Otherwise, the repentance is a farce. Otherwise, the forgiveness is a farce. Because you don't realize the price he paid. You know, there is no price than this. Zacchaeus knew all what he has cannot be compared what the Lord has given him. Cannot be. He put what the Lord has given him and he put all his possession. He said, it went just like that. This is nothing. So what happens today is, you and I do not still understand the demonstrated love of God by giving us the opportunity to repent and obtain forgiveness. We do not understand. So this man really understood, and the first thing he did was, he demonstrated, like God demonstrated, God demonstrated, and he too began to demonstrate what God done to him. He demonstrated by just giving away half of his wealth to the poor, of course. But then this is the most important thing. When you repent, you obtain forgiveness. You obtain forgiveness, and I think that cannot be compared by anything in this world that you have got. It is more value than the Mercedes Benz that we have. It is more value than the apartment that you have probably in this monarch or emperor. It is more value than the things, the assets that you have in New York or Paris or any other place. And that is why this man decided to take that initiative. Brothers and sisters, if you have experienced genuine repentance, and if you have experienced genuine forgiveness, every action that you have to do thereafter, you feel it's nothing. Because that is the greatest thing. You remember when I explained to you the parables, the fifth parable and the sixth parable, what does it say? When the man found the greatest treasure, he sold everything he has and brought that. That's what Martin Luther did. It did not count him. He demonstrated to God. He cannot say, no, I will be a Jesuit priest and still practice this. You know, he could have said that. I could change the Catholic Church. No. He demonstrated that because it cost him. He has to leave that place. He had to leave the church in Wittenberg. He had to face persecution. Persecution from nobody but from the great Roman Empire. So much of persecution that was a price. That was the price he sold. Then the sixth parable, the man who found that great pearl of great price, he sold everything and said, this is no value to me. He sold that and brought that. So if God has given to you such a priceless possession of His love, for you to be participating in the love of God by obtaining forgiveness, and you repent and let the repentance be shown. One of the things here is a very good thing, because it talks about also our past. Because one thing struck Zacchaeus was that immediately when God touched him, the presence of God, the presence of the Word of God brings you to a picture, everything very clearly, very vividly. So, what happens in the presence of Jesus, which is the Word of God in the flesh? So his life was so vividly shown there, and immediately he got the conviction, and then he began to do the initiatives for repentance. You see, God demonstrated His love to us by making initiatives for us to obtain forgiveness. We obtain forgiveness, we repent. Matthew 6:14-15 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you forgive not men, it should be men, their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive the trespasses. One of the things that you can show God that obtain forgiveness is to give forgiveness. Give and it shall be given unto you. You obtain forgiveness, give forgiveness. The all things whatsoever ye do, men should do to you, do even to them. That is the law and the prophet says. Now there are some interesting things here which I want to say. Mark 11:24-26. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that receive them, that ye shall have them. Okay, now we are always praying. We want to pray and ask God things. And he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Yes, you will have them. But read the verse 25. When you stand to pray, forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. So it's conditional. In praying, is a condition. It says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So you know, this forgiveness that you and I have obtained, you see, if God has, it has cost him something to give me forgiveness, therefore you think you and I are not going to cost anything? Yes, it cost God, the very Son of the Living God, to forgive you and me. Therefore, it will cost you to forgive one another. It's not an easy thing. Therefore, in Matthew 18:23-25 says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king which would take an account of his servants. You know this parable. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought into him which owed him 10,000 talents. As much as he had not paid, not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. And his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. We will pay thee all. When the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him the debt. The same servant went out and found his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, and saying, pay me what thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord that was done. And when the Lord after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I pity on thee? His Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should be paid all unto him. Likewise shall my heavenly Father also do unto you, if you are from your heart forgive not his brother their trespasses. I think you have read these scriptures many times, but let me bring some light into it. Working as a banker, I understand this parable. You see, in the banks also we have so many people, we give loans. We give loans to them for various things. And sometimes there is no way that, you know, somebody is going to write off. Particularly the banks. You know, the banks are making big profits from the giving loans, but they are not going to write off their loans like this man done. You know, they go up to the extent. I know every week we advertise, we have something called parate. You don't have to go to courts. You know, there is a law which is passed from the parliament. You don't have to go to courts, which is called the parate. You mortgage a property and obtain a loan. You don't have to go to court. You put an advertisement in the paper. This man has defaulted. I'm going to take this possession of this land. That's it. If you open the papers, you will see the bank's advertising called parate notice, which is advertising this man has taken this amount of loan. He has defaulted. Therefore, we are taking that property. We have so many in our bank. We have so many millions and millions of worth of properties which belongs to many people who have taken loans and not settled, and in fact we are now selling them and making a profit also. But here is a story of a man who has borrowed from 10,000, and then he couldn't pay it. And then the Lord says, the lender said, look, the time to pay has come, you are not paid, now you go to prison. Your children have to work for me as slaves. He comes and says, please. And this man had compassion and forgive those 10,000. Now, remember, this parable Lord said for nothing. He knew this would be the condition of the church. Otherwise he wouldn't have to write this parable. He knew this. He wrote this parable for you and me. Definitely. Because he knew that we are going to take very lightly this. The forgiveness that we have obtained from the Lord. He knew that we are going to forget the price that he had paid. He knew that we are going to forget what it cost him. And that's why he had written this thing. The Lord said this thing to him. And he have been forgiven of this 10,000 pounds or what dollars or whatever it is. And then he had somebody who owed him something. And what did he do? He caught him and said, pay it. He was like the banks. He said, pay it. Otherwise you would be on the papers. And he did that. And this is exactly what we are doing. We haven't understood the price that God has paid. And if we have understood the price, then there will be flowing from us the things that God desires. Jesus said to that woman, the water which I give unto you, it becomes a living water. It would be a fountain flowing. It would be flowing from you. You don't have to start it. It's flowing. Now that's the status that this man who owed 100 rupees, he could not pay and he ended in prison. And then finally he says, likewise, my heavenly Father also do unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Brothers and sisters, like repentance, forgiveness is the cardinal in the call of God. You obtain forgiveness, it costs God something. That cost cannot be priced. It's priceless cost to the Lord. And there is nothing that you can do to obtain that. But if you have obtained that, now you have come to this level. From this human side, you have become a son of God. The greatest quality of a son of God is the nature of God, which he would have, which he will demonstrate all the time. All the time, not once. Is he not once, not twice? There is no limit to forgiveness. You know, we have a 2000 years of grace period where we go to the Lord, we commit sin, we go to the Lord, and God forgives. And that is why when Peter asked Jesus, how many times I should forgive my brother, he said, it's a numerous times. There's no limit to it. So the forgiveness is an act of God which has to be demonstrated from you. And if you fail to demonstrate it, he says, my heavenly Father will also do unto you like that. So that's very important thing which we need to understand. The blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the kingdom, see the God. Look at the scripture. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. If you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans. You know, if there are any congregation, any Christian fellowship has really understood the forgiveness, if we are really repentant, there's power of God is going to take place. Because when Adam was created, when God gave him the breath of life, he became a living soul. He was a miracle. He was an act of God. When Jesus said, you are not born of the corruptible word, but incorruptible word of God, is an act of God. So therefore you and I are a living miracle. We are a miracle. And if you have experienced forgiveness, if you have repentance, I can tell you that congregation, that fellowship, there's miracles would take place. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to cry for it. There will be miracles taking place every moment. A congregation or a group of people or a man or a woman who had genuinely experienced forgiveness and genuinely repentant. Now look at what the Bible says here. Proverbs 25:21-22. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap the coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. You see, we have lot of differences among people. We keep on small things. You know, he did that to me. He spoke like that to me. He didn't look at my face. He has said this, that and other thing to somebody about me. All these silly small things. And we forget the price that he has paid for us. And we say, like the small person, he catch hold of a small man and says, pay it. You have to pay. And you forget the price that you have paid. God has paid for you. And you demand, I want justice. You have done this to me. How can I look at his face? How can I talk to him? He has done this to me. You are behaving like that servant which he has borrowed 10,000 and charged a person 100 rupees. But a man or a woman or a congregation can genuinely repent, genuinely experience. You have to demonstrate, like God has demonstrated his love to us, we have to demonstrate the love of God in us through forgiveness. See, the forgiveness is the demonstration of God's love. And if you have God's love in you, you have to demonstrate in you from others. Then you can call that you are a son of God and a daughter of God. Matthew 5:22-24. But I say unto you, whatsoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say unto brother Raka shall be danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be danger of hellfire. Now you remember, now when Jesus said, he just didn't say this thing for nothing. Because the Bible says every word is for profitable. Every word in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is for you and me. So it's not just, don't think it's for me, it's not for me, it's for some other people. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers thy brother had aught against thee, leave therefore thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and reconcile to thy brother. It is going to cost you, brothers and sisters. It is going to cost this. This exercise is going to costly affair. It's going to cost you. It's not going to come easy. This is costly affair. And if you and I cannot come to that level, then you will not be in this category. I must tell you that, because God, you see, when God told children of Israel, he demanded so much of perfection from them. You read the Old Testament and look at the way he judged those nations, children of Israel, the way he judged them. Why? He demanded perfect obedience to his word. In fact, he judged Moses, not doing what he said to him. He told, speak to the rock. Moses struck the rock twice. And God says, Moses, you are my friend. No doubt, I spoke to you face to face, but here, you have to pay. You know, like today, we can't say, you know, you are my friend, you know, yeah, now you can go, you can have easy path. No. So what happens here is, children of Israel has paid biggest price ever. If there is any other nation has paid a price for their existence, that is the nation of Israel. Is there any other nation in this planet earth paid a price for their existence? That is the nation of Israel. Under Hitler, millions of Jews went to gas chambers. During the first tribulation, when the Roman army surrounded under Titus and Vespasian, millions of Jews died of starvation, according to the prophecy of the word of God. And God told the kings of Israel, when you go and capture a nation, kill the people. Don't leave those people, heathens, whether they are children, the women, all these. Why did God say that? You may think, why, what kind of God he is? He has no compassion on children and women. Is that the kind of God you have? Why he told people to kill those people? Because God knew that he had paid a price. It is value that he wants from us. And that value, you know, he judged kings. He judged servants of God. He judged prophets. He judged many people who did not adhere to his requirements. Whether it's the highest king or the most pious prophet, God judges them. So he says, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. Reconcile to thy brother. Not that you have anything, but if he also have anything against you. And then come. You see, I was telling you, when you come from this level here, your human level, sinful nature, you obtain forgiveness by the price God paid, which cost him, he expect value, you repent, and then you are here to this level, and what God expect you to demonstrate, divine nature. God says here, whereby we have given unto us exceeding great precious promise, that ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. It is the Holy Spirit that arouses them. You see, he says that we are to be partakers of divine nature. No, we have the human nature, it's a sinful nature. We say, for eye for an eye, he had done this, I think I'm going to hit him. So the human nature, then you are going through this process where God has given to you and you have come to the divine nature. And in the divine nature, it's divine acts that has to take place in your life. Divine acts, more than human acts. You know, to forgive somebody is a divine act. It's not humanly possible. I was reading an article of a businessman, well-known businessman. He also happened to be a Christian, I believe, think he believes. But he, in conclusion, he says, it is humanly impossible to forgive and forget. Humanly impossible if somebody has done something wrong. Then he says, sometimes maybe it's possible to forgive, but not forget. You see, if you cannot forget, you cannot forgive. Remember that. If you cannot forget, you cannot forgive. Remember, if Jesus remembers, God remembers all we have done. You remember what you have done. If he remembers, you know, this all may not be enough to stuff. So that's exactly the situation here. That we are partakers of divine nature. Therefore it is says the Holy, it is the Holy Spirit that arouses a man's consciousness and bring him to the presence of God. And the forgiven man is a holy man who has gone through this process, the repentance and divine nature. So if we are divine nature, we have to demonstrate my divine nature and divine strength. You know, have you played with children? We have played with children. Now when a person plays with children, adult is always stronger than children. I remember even my son was very small and my daughter, we were playing with them. And even you go out and play with the children, you demonstrate what you demonstrate. You can lift them, you can do this kind of things, you can, you know, throw the ball far and, you know, do all that. What you show to your children, your strength you demonstrate. So likewise, you have to demonstrate your divine strength that God has given to you. The only way that you can do that is starting with forgiveness. You have to demonstrate. If God has ever given you a strength, that one of the strength is the love of God, and that love comes with the reflective package of forgiveness. So therefore, one of the ways you have to look at the world, you know, if somebody doing a lot of harm to you, talking ill about you, you look at those people as children. Treat them as children. Don't treat them as adults. But you, if you are adult, don't behave like a child. You know, he had taken my, I want to take this, I, you know, like that, you know. Don't do that. But what happens here is, you are a adult of God because you are a son of God who has come to the certain maturity, and now the task is to demonstrate. You see, when you have to forgive people who have done harm to you, I know inhumanly, you know, if anybody do harm to you, it's in the human side, not only the spiritual, not on the spiritual side. A lot of people, he had taken my money, he had taken this, that, and he has said this. So it's all human side. So what you, it's a difficult, you know, it's difficult to forgive. But when you realize the price God paid, everything else is insignificant, invaluable to you. And then you say that God has given that enormous strength of His love upon you, where you can demonstrate your strength. Like this man, you know, he is carrying so many children. Now you have so many people who have done harm to you, treat them like children. Who doesn't understand? That is exactly Jesus did when he on the cross. When he forgave people and said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. In other words, they are children. They don't know what. I think that's the quality that you and I have to look for. And that's the quality that God is looking for. You see, God is looking for something very important in our lives. And when that happens, you know, as I told you, repentance will cost you. Genuine repentance will cost you, because you have to do a lot of restorations. Because of our sinful nature, we do a lot of harm, not to God. You can't harm God, remember that. You can't harm God. You harm individual human beings. It could be your wife, if you could be a husband, if you could be your children, your friends, relations, or your friend, many people. It's them you harm. God cannot be harmed. So what happens here is, when you come to the repentance and forgiveness, that's the beginning. You are here in this position. And then you have to demonstrate God's acts of God in your life. The nature, divine nature in you. When you demonstrate that, it is like a race. Paul said, I run a race. I know there is a crown for me, but I run a race. If you ever think running a race is easy, you have to ask one of the Olympic athletes who does 100 meters. Running a race is it easy? No. You start from here, you go to this place. It needs lot of commitment, lot of courage, lot of determination. It is going to cost you so much of your energy. Yes. It is going to cost you so much of energy. You ask any athlete, particularly 100 meters, what is going to cost him to reach this position? There is nothing comes easy. Because for him to reach here, he has to have the conviction that he is going to do that. He has to have the courage of that conviction. He need to have the determination that he has to reach there. So if you and I have obtained God's forgiveness, and come into the kingdom of God, and we say that I am a son of God, I am a born again Christian or a son of God, then you need to give God the value of that. It costs God the price, and I think God is also expecting you to feel about that price. You see, how God can, you can experience the nature of forgiveness is when you begin to give it. It is going to cost you. And that's why it says here. You know, you have seen a lot of athletes come to this position and do what? Do what? You know, a lot of those people get up and come. I show something. I've seen him doing many times. I've seen him doing many times. When they play a match or do this, what do you do? Raise your hand. Don't. What do you do? Celebrate the acts of success. I have seen many people are doing that. They jump and do that. You see, it's absolutely, God is looking forward to that. Celebrate your divine nation. Celebrate your divine nation. It will cost you the courage of your convictions. Now look at this man. He has finished it. And he is celebrating it and saying, yes, I have done it. And he jumped his hands and put it like this. But you ask him, how did he come here? Did somebody take him? No. It cost him something. It cost him something to come to that position. Celebration. Dear brothers, when you have to forgive somebody, remember, the Lord is standing with his hand like this. Right? Lord is standing with his hand like this. And you jump and take the hand and celebrate it when you forgive somebody. It's difficult to forgive. You remember, the Lord is waiting with his hand like this. And when you forgive that person who have done harm, you forgive that person and reconcile and go back and say, Lord, I have done it. Celebrate it. You see, we need to celebrate our divine nature. If you don't celebrate your divine nature, you fail to demonstrate that you are a son of God. If you don't celebrate your divine nature, you fail to demonstrate that you are a son of God. You see, you have come from this side to this side. By God's grace, it cost God something. He expects value from you, and if you don't give value, what did he say? What happens if the salt loses its taste? People will trample. He says, be salt of the earth. Be value. He said, if it loses, everybody trample and go. That's what happened to us. If we are going to demonstrate the human nature instead of the divine nature, God can't celebrate, you can't celebrate. So if you want to forgive people, remember, you have divine strength, not human strength. Humanly not possible. For humanly, I also can't forgive people. But now I have moved from human side to divine side, because I am born not of the corruptible seed, but incorruptible word of God. And therefore now, I have the divine nature, not by my good work, by the grace of God, by my genuine repentance. And it is going to cost me nothing to demonstrate the acts of God. And that's why it says it's going to will cost you the courage of your convictions. So, two things remember. If you have so many people who have done harm to you in the past, if you want to forgive them, remember you as a person of strength. Person of immense strength, like divine, like an adult. Look at those people like children. And then demonstrate to those people
that your divine strength. And as you do that, remember the Lord is keeping his hand like a captain. You know, people catch the Sri Lankan team, somebody catch a very difficult thing, very difficult catch and fall down catch and then all put the hands. The Lord is waiting to celebrate yours and mine's divine demonstration of divine nature. I want to share something from this book. This time I had this opportunity of buying this book, The Secret of Soha. The Jewish ancient writings all go back to the Bible. I was looking for Jewish Hebrew book in Australia and I was able to find this book. What is Soha? It's called Secrets of Soha. Soha is an acknowledged source of great spiritual wisdom that is ancient as the Bible itself. Revealed to Moses as the decoder of the Bible, the Soha was passed on the oral tradition until it was recorded as a sacred text that remained hidden for 1,000 years. This is something Jews use because, you know, this by, you know, five books are there, written, inspired books, but there are something oral by word of mouth which is gone from Moses. And this is what it says. There are so many interesting passages in this. It's gives the Jewish writing and English, all that. So it's really inspiring to me because it goes back to the Word of God. It says in one chapter, how many times in your life have you felt the desire to hurt someone for simple reason that they hurt you first? Whenever you try to enact vengeance, even if you truly feel it is justified, you create an opening for judgment to enact upon yourself. But when you resist an impulse for reactive vengeance, you bring forgiveness and goodwill into your life. I don't have to explain this. It is self-explanatory. Now this from that book. Rev Abba means one of the Jewish rabbis. As Rev Abba sat by the gate of the city of Lod, he saw a traveler standing near the edge of a cliff on mountain side. And the traveler must have been weary from the road, for as the Rev Abba watched, that is the Jewish rabbi, he lay down and slept. While he was sleeping, a snake came toward him, and then a lizard suddenly appeared and killed the snake. And when the traveler awoke, he saw the dead snake and stepped back from the cliff. Just then the cliff was torn from the mountainside and fell to the valley below. But the traveler was saved, and he had awakened. If he had awakened a moment later, he would have fallen to his death. Rev Abba, that is the Jewish rabbi, approached the traveler and said, "What have you done that the Holy One, blessed be He, performed two miracles for you, saving you from the snake, saving you from the falling cliff? For these events did not happen without a reason." So he questioned him, this man. Now this is what this man said. The traveler replied, "In all my days, I forgave and made peace with any man who did evil by me. If I could not make peace with him, I did not sleep on my bed before forgiving him and all the others who had aggrieved me. I did not harbor hatred for any harm that had been done to me. Moreover," listen to this, "from that day on, I tried to do kindness by them." I tried to do kindness by them. Imagine the status. Rav Abba wept and said, "This man's deeds exceed those of Joseph," means Joseph of the Old Testament. "For those who injured Joseph were his brothers. Assuredly, he should have pitied and forgiven them from the brotherhood. But this man was forgiving everyone, for so he is greater than Joseph, and is worthy to have the Holy One, blessed be he,
perform miracle after miracle. Now, I don't have to re-emphasize this story written here. And this man, he said the reason, he didn't know even. This miracle happened, he didn't notice. A snake came, a lizard came and killed him. And the falling precipice, he was saved from that. So he says, this man is greater than Joseph, who forgave only his brothers. What does the Bible say? Bible says, Jesus said, I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now this is what Jesus said. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall no case enter into the kingdom of God. You know, God is not interested in the religious people. There are hundreds and thousands of religious Christians. They are like a order they do. They come to church, read the Bible, praise the Lord, sing, and then they go back. God is not interested in that kind of religious people. He said, you have to exceed. That's what this man says. Joseph only forgave his brothers, but this man, he forgives everyone. And not only he forgives everyone, he does not harbor, but he demonstrates kindness. Even the Jews in the ancient time understood what God expected. But we, who have been had the opportunity to understand this, yet we are not really valuing that experience. Demonstrate divine nature. Demonstrate the strength, divine strength you have. And if you do that, then that's the beginning of the miracles and miracles. The greatest miracle that God has done, it's not the healings. It's not the getting a job or getting a fortune for you. It is the miracle of giving the breath of life to, and Adam became a living soul. And he was given everything to dominate. So therefore God has given you and me the opportunity to be born of the incorruptible word. And you become a son of God. And if you are a son of God, divine nature has to be demonstrated. And brothers and sisters, it will cost you. It's going to be a human cost in the demonstration of the divine nature. And I think this is exactly what the Lord is looking from you and me. Have you been forgiven by the Lord? Have you repented? Have you repented genuinely and truly? As a result of your repentance, have there been any impact on the lives of people whom you have done harm or whom they have done harm to you? The impact that you created among the people that surrounds you, that come across you, by the virtue of your divine relationship with the Lord, and by virtue of the divine strength that God has given to you, by virtue of the love of His forgiveness and repentance. It's not enough to repeat the sinner's prayer. Jesus said, before you build, count the cost. Count the cost. And I believe tonight, what I want to see among us, me, you, all of us, re-examine our repentance. Whether we have truly demonstrated that. And I believe, brothers and sisters, if we have achieved that status, and if you recognize the price God paid for you, every action that you had to do thereafter is no expense to you, because you have got much more value than what you expect. And I believe if we come to that status in this fellowship, that acts of God will be demonstrated. Even you, before you ask Him from God, Lord will make things to happen. And I think that's the time that God is planning for you. He gave you value, He expect value from you. God gave value, and God demands value from you and me. Let's pray. Let's spend a few moments before the Lord. And I believe the Lord has spoken to us tonight. You can just pass this and say, okay, this is not that important. But I want you to remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus truly repented. And he knew the price the Lord has paid. And he knew how valuable for him to call, this day the salvation has come to his house. And I believe, like Zacchaeus, there are many things that you have done to many people, and many people have done to you. Sometimes those people are dead and gone also. They are not among the living. But yet, you owe something to those people, like Zacchaeus said. Zacchaeus said, if I have taken, I will return to them four times. Brothers and sisters, I believe some of us may have to do that. There may be certain things that we need to do to demonstrate our divine strength, demonstrate our divine nature. The Lord is waiting to celebrate that, not only tonight, but hereafter. And I believe if you do this, brothers and sisters, I can assure you, the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, it will be like a fountain of living waters that would come forth endlessly and will bring us to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that you would take little time even as we finish here and go on your way. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of fellowship and worship and feasting on thy holy word. And I pray, Lord, the word that was spoken tonight would not return to you without a void, to accomplish its purpose, Lord. Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May He go before you, beside you. May He keep you as the apple of His eye and hide you under the shadow of His wings. May He let His face shine upon you all the time. May He give you the courage of your conviction to demonstrate the divine nature in you. Pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. See you next Sunday.